Welcome to day 27 of our 180-day journey through the Westminster Standards. This is our third day studying chapter 8 of the Westminster Confession of Faith of Christ the Mediator and the parallel questions in the catechisms. Yesterday we asked why it was requisite that the mediator should be God, and we also learned why it was requisite that our mediator should be man. So question 40 of the Westminster Larger Catechism picks up and asks, why was it requisite that the mediator should be God and man in one person? Answer, it was requisite that the mediator, who was to reconcile God and man, should himself be both God and man, and this in one person, so that the proper works of each nature might be accepted of God for us, and relied on by us, as the works of the whole person. So the first part, that the proper works of each nature might be accepted of God for us, Matthew 1, 21 and 23, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, it being interpreted, is God with us. Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The second part of the answer, relied on us as the works of the whole person. 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Question 41, why was our mediator called Jesus? Answer, our mediator was called Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus comes from a Hebrew word, yasha, which means to save or salvation. And it's an interesting word, and we have some links at the bottom of the page if you'd like to pursue the meaning of that word, and also the meaning of the idea of saving his people from their sins. It's not exactly the same thing. If you ask most people, why did Jesus come? They would say, to save us from hell. But he came to save us from our sins, which is a somewhat different concept. So check out the links on the below on the for further study section. Okay, what we've learned now in these two questions, plus the questions we learned yesterday, are summed up in Section 2 of Chapter 8 of the Westminster Confession of Faith. So let's look at Section 2 of Chapter 8 of the Confession. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, being very and eternal God, of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And this is not only a summary of all the questions we looked at today and yesterday, but it's also a summary of the essential part of the Council of Chalcedon, the Creed of Chalcedon, from 451 AD, which made those same kinds of claims, very God, very man, without confusion, and so forth. Those are historic words that go back 1,500 years, and so this is not some kind of novel innovation. But let's look at that section by section. First, he came to take upon him man's nature, although he was of one substance and equal with the Father. John 1, of course, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law. And the Son of God had all the essential properties and common infirmities of man's nature, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:14, 16, and 17. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This Son of God was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary of her substance. Luke 1:27, 31, and 35, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Galatians 4:4, which we just read above. So, two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person without conversion, composition, or confusion. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For in him, Colossians 2:9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Romans 9:5, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And finally, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Romans 1:3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now let's look at section 3 of chapter 8 of the Confession of Faith, and that will sort of summarize what we're going to see tomorrow. Section 3, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus in his human nature was thus united to the divine, was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure, having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, to the end that, being holy, harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety. which office he took not unto himself, but was thereunto called by his Father, who put all power and judgment into his hand, and gave him commandment to execute the same. Okay, he was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure. Psalm 45:7, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And John 3:34, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. I'm looking at a different version than you're looking at, and you'll be looking at the correct answer. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I believe that's Colossians 2:3. And it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. To the end that, by being holy, harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that he might be thoroughly furnished to execute the office of a mediator and surety. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Which office, mediator and surety, he took not to himself, but was thereunto called by his Father. Hebrews 4:4-5, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. Who put the Father, called by the Father, who put all power and judgment into his hand and gave him commandment to execute the same. John 5:22-27. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Acts 2:36, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and the Christ. So we'll see how these claims in section 3 of chapter 8 are explained in the catechisms on tomorrow, day 28.